Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands in MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
Hello again. Another episode here, live episode following that Knicks game. Man, I mean, the Celtics weren't supposed to play everybody. Then they do, and the Knicks absolutely destroy them in their building. What a win for the Knicks. And that is a statement win going on into the postseason. We've talked about this all year long. In my gut, in my heart, I don't feel the same about this team as I would have had Randall been here. However, at the same time, I am not putting a ceiling on what the Knicks could accomplish, meaning they can beat the Celtics, they can beat the Bucks, they can beat anybody else in the East. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked at this point if they did find themselves in the Eastern Conference Finals, and if they did give Boston a series and potentially get to the NBA Finals. And the number one reason why, it's not just because of the defense or because of the way they play tough and together as a team, the chemistry, all those things. Those are great things. Having Anunoby back, of course. But there's one reason why the Knicks can win it all, and that is the should-be MVP, Jalen Brunson. Enough. Like, we all know this. We've known this for a while now. If you watch this team and you pay attention to what he's done, he's a legitimate superstar, unquestioned one of the top players in the league. And I said this months ago that I would take him over anybody. And it doesn't mean that he's the best player in the league, but there's a reason why I said I would take him over anybody for this team in this town. You're seeing it. Jalen Brunson should be the MVP, because without him, the Knicks would be nothing. Without Randall, without Anunoby, they still managed to keep themselves in a top four postseason spot, and now looking like they could get a number two seed. And at the very least, you figure they're going to be a three seed. Think about that. Lost their second best player and their third best player for an extended period. Second player, obviously, they lose Randall for the entire season once he went down after that trade for Anunoby. And they're still able to do that? Still able to have a top seed in the Eastern Conference because of Jalen Brunson. So I felt like this a couple of weeks ago, and I feel like this even more now watching this team night in, night out. No way am I putting a ceiling on what they could do. I don't care. I do care that Randall's out, but as far as it goes, as far as they can go, it doesn't matter to me. And I don't think they're better off without Randall. I think that's a different argument. I think they'd be better with Julius Randall. But even without him, because of Brunson, I am not putting a ceiling on what this team could do. Now, they got to go out there and finish it off against the Nets and against the Bulls. And look, if the Bucks win a game, so be it. You tip your cap, mixed it all that they could do. Get to 50. If you finish with 50 wins, if they, the way that they've gone this year, I know 50, you know, not the ultimate benchmark, but it's certainly a great sign of a great season. But, you know, you want to win a little bit more to get the top seed or second seed, whatever. It may take a little bit more. It may have taken one more. Who knows? We'll see what happens with Milwaukee. But if the Knicks win 50 this year, with all that's gone on, I don't think there's much more that they could have done in the regular season under the circumstances. Then it's going to be on to the playoffs, see who's lined up in the first round, and go take care of business. They're going to have home court, go take care of business, see what happens in the second round, and maybe this year they take another step forward. We saw them in the postseason a couple years ago, first round and out. We saw them last year win that first round matchup against Cleveland. Maybe this year they win the second round and find themselves in a conference finals. So it wasn't just the Knicks yesterday, as we aired this Tuesday morning, but record it live on, we aired this Friday morning. We record it live on Thursday night.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Mets had a huge win. We didn't get a chance to talk about the win. I was on the, you know, doing the midday show live with BT as the Mets were going on, and they were rolling, and it looked like they were going to win, but who the hell knows, especially against Atlanta. But it was as big a win as you could have in April for a team that started 0-5 to face Cincinnati, who people thought were going to be good, you know, on the 0-5, and then obviously they barely get that win, that last game of the homestand, the second game of the doubleheader against Detroit, get themselves their first win of the year. But then knowing that they'd be going on the road to take on the Reds and the Braves, I'll admit, I was thinking the season was going to be over very early on after that start. They rallied 2 out of 3 against Cincinnati. Okay, let's see what they do against Atlanta. This is the Show Me series. We called it a swing series before the series took place. Supposed to be 4 games, obviously only 3 because of the rain. But you knew from the first night that the Mets meant business. And that's not something you could say about this team very often. Down 4-0 against the Braves in Atlanta to come back and get that win, tremendous. The next night, down 6-0, come back and lose, but make it 6-5, showed you something. Obviously, we're not giving out participation trophies. However, it showed you something. And that showing us something carried over to the final game of this series after the rainout, where the Mets kicked the crap out of the Braves. A drubbing, 16-4. It didn't stop. Matter of fact, what usually would happen to the Mets happened to the Braves. They're booting the ball, kicking it around, not getting anything going offensively, couldn't get anybody out. The game ends up with Luis Guillorme, former Met, instead of sticking it to the Mets, he's on the mound pitching because the actual pitchers couldn't get anybody out. That is as sweet a win as the Mets have had against that team in Atlanta as long as I can remember. Especially if you go back to, you know, what happened in 2022, where the Mets had them beat. It should have been their division, but they choked it away, especially the final, you know, the final time they saw them after getting swept. Now, in the grand scheme of things, what does it mean? Mets still under 500? Understood. Do I think the Mets are some great team? No. But they're winning me over with their heart. I called this team soft in years past, and there was a reason for that. This team, even with the same core guys, but with the emergence now of Brett Beatty, with Alvarez being a bigger part, with some different personalities, whether it's on that pitching staff or in that clubhouse, with a new manager in Carlos Mendoza, they've shown fight. And that's something I can respect, especially with a lesser talented team. In the last 2 seasons, the Mets had a team, talent-wise, that should have been competing for a World Series. First year, they won 101 games, but obviously we know how they fell short. Last year was an epic disaster. This year, we weren't sure what was going to happen, but the expectations were lowered. And the fight that they've shown, the battle after the adversity to start at 0-5, that to me is something that might have some staying power for this group. They're not the most talented. They may not be a playoff team, but they're going to fight for one of those spots. First, they got to get back to 500, but they did a good job of working their way back with this 4-2 road trip, especially taking 2 out of 3 from the Braves, who looked like we expected them to look. Their offense was great. They were rolling right along to start this season. Wasn't like they had a little bit of a slow start to their year. They've been dominating, and the Mets took a series from them. One last thing, and we know the Rangers not playing well against the Flyers tonight. That's unfortunate. Off the loss for the Islanders, 2 straight losses for the Rangers. But still, I'm not worried about the Rangers. Looking forward to the matchup on Saturday against the Islanders, the rematch here, as the Rangers, you know, start to close up their season and get ready for the postseason, which I do believe will be a cup run. At some point, it's got to happen for this group. Last year, totally disappointing ending. At some point, you'll want to see them go on the run of the postseason. I'm not worried about the little hiccup here these last couple of games against the Islanders and Flyers. Juan Soto, we talked about this on the midday show. I talked about this. Maybe I didn't talk about this on the – I guess we didn't do the podcast. Right, we did the mailbag episode. I was going to say we talked about this during the podcast, but we didn't. You know, it's not picking on Juan Soto when I say that I wanted more from Juan Soto than a walk in that spot. It's the expectations for that type of guy in that spot is to drive runs in. At certain points, you want guys that are in the middle of that order. And I know we hit second and Judge third, but really it should be those, you know, ideally in the old school way, it would be Soto three, Judge four. You want the guys in front of them to set the table, and the guys did. And then you want Soto to be a guy to drive runs in, Judge to be a guy to drive runs in. I get what Juan Soto is, and he's as good at what he does as anybody. Gives you the greatest at-bats. He's got the best eye in the game. He's going to work the count, work the pitcher, all that stuff. However, in that particular spot last night in the ninth inning with first and second, knowing Judge is struggling, I wanted to see Soto do damage, not celebrate passing the baton and walking. That's all. I expect more. And while I don't want him to get himself out, I would rather see him be more aggressive and fail in that way than be more passive or patient and pass the baton in that particular spot. Not all the time. And if Soto does leave to go to the Mets, this is why it's fair. I'm saying with the Yankees because I felt that as somebody who was rooting for the Yankees, or if I'm rooting for the Yankees, feeling like I want Soto to be a guy that gets the job done here. If he were to come to the Mets, let's say, next season, and he's up in that same situation, Soto's going to be paid to be the guy to drive guys in, not be the guy to get on. The Mets would need Soto to do damage. The Yankees right now, because of the way Judge is going, and even if you go beyond that, because if Volpe gets on and Soto doesn't drive him in, now you need the struggling Judge to do it. And then if Judge doesn't do it, which he didn't last night, and obviously it was the last out of the game, then you need to rely on Rizzo or Giancarlo. And I don't trust that for the Yankees. It's not just a small sample size. We're going back to the last few seasons as well. So if Soto's not going to produce in those big spots, and it's not that he's afraid of the moment because he's proven he's not. He's as clutch as they come. Look at 2019. It's when I fell in love with Juan Soto as a player. But in those spots, in certain situations, I want to see more aggression from Juan Soto. He's not going to listen to me. He's going to do his thing. But to me, that's a problem, especially if I'm going to be paying him $500, $600 million. I want to see him get the job done. Last night, the Yankees lost because Soto passed the baton to Judge, and Judge did not get the job done. That does it for this edition of WFAN Daily. Download, rate, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget to hit us up, WFANDaily@gmail.com. We'll answer your questions and comments on an upcoming mailbag episode. We'll see you later.